And in the light of our Thanksgiving Eve, it is good to just pause a moment and go way back 402 years to the Pilgrims. November 29th, 1623. Landed 1620, 1623, they're getting adjusted. And Governor Bradford gives the proclamation. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and hath made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and as inasmuch as he has spared us from pestilence and disease, and has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all the pilgrims, with your wives and the little ones, together at the evening house, meeting house on the hill, between the hours of 9 and 12, on the day in the daytime, on Thursday, November 29th, in the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, there is to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. Now, that's a copy of that. George Washington, his first year in office, gave a Thanksgiving proclamation, which I could give, but I don't take time. And in 1863, Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday to have an attitude of gratitude for our country, for all that we have. So, in order to think about that, we are all born humans, and when we're born, we're born into having all the benefits of baby care, diapers, food, everything. When was the last time you saw a baby say thank you for changing the diapers? For having milk? We don't do it. Not that you didn't do it, no offense. We just don't do it. We don't do that. As we grow, we assume we have food, little baby growing up, we have food and clothing, and the laundry's done, and all kinds of things. So we grow up being taken care of by our parents, etc. And we just assume, like babies, we don't say thank you too much. When's the last time you said thank you for the laundry? We just don't do that. We just assume. So, when we go along in the process, and to be thankful, God is not usually in our thinking. Not thinking, because we don't do it with anything else. So therefore, God's wonderful management. Romans chapter 1. And in Romans in chapter 1, you would recall, putting it together in the light of all humanity, if I can, Romans chapter 1, going directly, if I can, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. How so? For God, not anybody else, has shown it unto them. So all God makes himself known to every human being born on planet Earth. Now what they do with that is something else. So, now what? Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. Why? Because, verse 21, that when they knew God, and they did, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, and they forgot, they became vain, unthankful. And if you took time, and you can do it, I think we can do it, go over to 2 Timothy. And when we come to the end of the age, which is where we are, and we come to the end of the age as we are, and we look, and we see. In chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, God tells us the characteristics of the last days in which we live. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous, difficult, times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, etc., etc. So here's our earthly lot, and it is, people just aren't thankful. We aren't thankful to our normal system in it, and we aren't thankful to God because we haven't received. What have we got that we need to thank him for? So animals are made from the dust of the ground, birds, bugs, bees, they're all from the dust of the ground, and they are dust. The antelope dies and becomes dust to the ground. And so, but having said that and keeping that in mind, and they have instinct, so they don't worship, they don't have to thank anybody. The little old ant, the spider that comes forth, the little spider never has to say to its mother spider, if he would, never has to say, now, thank you for helping me. No, the little spider knows exactly everything that the mother knew when it was born. And that little baby spider, knows exactly everything. Doesn't have to thank anybody. It just has it. But when it comes to us humans are something else. We're made of dust, and our bodies go back to dust. But we aren't an animal. And God, but has given us an awesome body with all of its systems to do what it does and say what it, to think, to come, to go, to create, etc. We have that as human beings. So therefore, in order to put that in order, over to Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, and you'll note, if I can, here's David. And in Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting down and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Now, sliding along, and we go, and David is going to say, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from my spirit, thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence? There's no way, God, you're everywhere. So therefore, God, I'm always in your presence. If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And therefore, I might as well just go a little further, and down slide down to verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. What are you understanding? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I'm not an ant or a spider. I'm a human. And God, there's no way to get out of your presence. And God, boy, I'm something else. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. DNA in our creation, and little egg and the seed, and all of it multiplies, and all the different things are so programmed that they just do everything exactly, repeatedly in your body. As your body dies, as your body is dying all the time, it keeps recreating itself. It recreates your liver, recreates your lungs, just recreates it. Wow, it's wonderfully made. Now, chapter 139. How, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So God, in the process, you're thinking about me. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm not a spider. And God, your thoughts to me, of me, for me, about me, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now hang on to that. So therefore, and remember Romans 1, we just aren't thanking you, God. David got it. So therefore, over to Matthew 6. And you're going to add Matthew chapter 6. And you will notice, go to verse, in the light of the wonderful thing, I'm going to read just a little bit for you to catch it, if I can. Verse 25, chapter 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Don't be divided in your mind and worried and wanting. Don't take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, but what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothing? And sliding down to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The flowers, the birds, everything replaces itself. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. Don't get all divided in your mind. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? In other words, all the things we need. The baby needs this, the person needs that. We're all a bit weird. Verse 32. Why don't we have to do that? For, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows you have a need. Therefore seek for ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So therefore, God, you know, God, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your thoughts to us are more than we could ever understand, like the snowflakes, the raindrops fall upon the sky. And God, your thoughts. And you know our need. So, God, we have a relationship to you when we receive you as our Savior. And we receive you as our Savior, what do we do? We didn't receive things. We didn't receive a year's supply of tuna fish or something. You received a person. A person. You didn't receive something in order and say thank you for it. No. No, you didn't. You received a person. You received him. As many as received him, to them gave you the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. His person for our person. His person for our person. To be found in his person. His person for our person. For our person to be found in his person. That's right. We're all going to be found. We have a Heavenly Father whose thoughts to us, of us, are more than can ever be, higher than the heavens. And where are we? We're found in him. We've received him as our Savior. That's how you got saved. Otherwise, you're not saved. You'd be religious up to you here. You can do whatever you want, but you aren't saved. You need to know the Lord as your Savior. A personal relationship to the person of God in a very personal way. So, having said that, and looking to God, Christ our life. Now, what does that do in Christ our life? It makes us, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it makes us a new creature. We're brand new. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. We're brand new in God's wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, we're found in Christ, having his life, Christ our life. So we received a person. The person brings his person into our person. And brings what? He brings to us everything that is to be found in by God in Christ. When God in Christ, you received him as your Savior, God brought himself into your heart. That's how you're saved. That's why you're saved. So God, you brought yourself. Mm-hmm. Now I received you as my Savior. So now, keeping that in mind, if you would, being a new creature, go over with me, please, to Ephesians. And let's exercise a little bit. And in Ephesians, picking up, if I may, in Ephesians chapter 1, and you will note, if I may, go directly to verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, God, what have you done? When we became a new creature, how do we become a new creature? God took us being dead in sins and gave us his life. How did he do that? He died on the cross to pay the price for all our sin. And therefore, he turns around and says, you have a pardon. You're free. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you receive him, you'll receive the benefits of the pardon. You'll receive the benefits of forgiveness. You'll receive it. How so? When you received his person, you'll receive forgiveness. That's what you did. Now, so here we are looking. God, forgiveness. That's an awesome thing. Now, what are we going to do? To exercise being forgiven. That's an awesome thing, you know. We say it easily, but we don't really think about it too much. Most people don't. They don't think about it. To be forgiven. You who were dead, we who were dead, absolutely zero. God has given us himself in totality. Not a little bit. God gave you himself in Christ. Wow. Hang on to that. Now, back turn the page. Over to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, you'd recall, and going if I can, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, so far, we do that. It's the last part that stands out, that makes the first part easy. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Being forgiven, literally. Do you appreciate and understand that? Otherwise, you can't get in. You're disconnected. The humans, I had a meeting last night I had to go to, and I wished I could pray differently. But it's a system. It's a system. And we aren't in the system. We aren't in the system. We just aren't there. I was asked, am I in the system? By a different, without getting all things, that essentially. And I didn't answer that properly. I didn't. I wish I just said, everyone I know keeps dying. Now, what a dumb answer that is. Absolutely dumb. I kicked myself 7,000 times. What an answer. I should have said, no, I don't know. I'm not in that. I didn't say that. I just popped out of my head because I think about that over the years, watching as time goes on. All the dear people keep dying. And if you keep living, you're going to have less people around you. Do you understand? If you live another 50 years, a lot of people sitting here are never going to be here. They're never going to be here. They're all gone. The longer you live, the lonelier it gets, because you get all alone. I'm just kidding now. But in the process, you have to have life, and you have to be forgiven, and you have to be God forgives us. That's an awesome thing, because God totally forgives us. Now, in order to appreciate that, as you know, these are basic ABCs, like breathing, your heartbeats. These are basic to your physical life, breathing, your heartbeats. Got to have them, no matter what. Now, so over, if you would please, to 1 John. And in 1 John, as we've been looking, again, standing out, giving us the basic, very basic, to be able to enjoy being alive on planet Earth. Therefore, 1 John chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Verse 3, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Back down to verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. God has forgiven us when he died on the cross. And in the process, I enjoy that forgiveness when I walk in the light, when I abide in Christ. But if I don't abide, I'm a believer, but I don't do that stuff, you know. I don't do that, no. And walk in the light, to really understand that, you're saved, and the reason you can enjoy going from one room to another is because God has forgiven you. And he's forgiving you. He's forgiving you as you go anywhere. He's already forgiven you. And you want, and if we aren't appreciating it, there's no need to say thank you, because we have no sense of it. We don't even understand it. We're being forgiven. And so when we walk in the light, we're always conscious of being forgiven. So when we stumble like I did, I think I did, it just has to happen. Just to happen. I got to live another 50 years before I perfect it. just happens. You're being forgiven. But if you don't walk in the light, you say, oh, I don't have to, Romans 1, but you first John 1, 7, if we walk in the light, well, yeah, we talk about that. I don't really do that. I don't really do that, no, no. And therefore, I don't enjoy being forgiven, because I am forgiven, and so are you if you're saved. And God is forgiving you every single second, forever. He died to forgive you. Thank you. Thank you. No need to thank him. I don't think about it, about being forgiven. But boy, we is 24 hours a day. And you won't enjoy it unless you walk in the light. Now, you can do whatever you want and grow up and be whatever. I'm trying to help you understand, help myself to understand what's missing. Our world isn't very thankful. It isn't thankful. It has no thought of being thankful, Romans 1, 2 Timothy 3. It has no intent of being thankful. It isn't interested in being thankful to God. Now, so therefore, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and God makes us new creatures in Christ, brand new creatures, brand new. And you want to say you're brand new, yeah. Because 2 Corinthians, you have to turn there. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, God makes them a new creature. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. That's right. Everything's become new. So, but the marvelousness is you have a wonderful life in the person of God Almighty. That's where your life is. It isn't in you. It isn't in the branch. It's in the tree where the branch is attached, and it has to stay attached in order to enjoy the life. If it breaks away like this, it doesn't enjoy it. There's no forgiveness. There's no sense. We have no sense of God. I got to think, what could I thank him for? You see, that's the last thing. That's how we think. I don't know. What can I think of thanking for? See, so, God, what are we doing? So, in your marvelous, marvelous way, God, you make us a new creature in Christ. We're brand new. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. So, God, you are Christ. You are Christ. Christ, you, that's what you've done. And we're new. We're new. And all the wonderment of it is we live with the old. Every day you live with your old nature. All the while you're a new creature in Christ. Wonderful. You got the old to contend with. That's why you walk in the light. To be forgiven. To be pardoned. To enjoy the life. All the while you got your old nature in us that doubts and damns and trouble, does everything to keep us from being thankful to God in the most wonderful, wonderful way. So God has to help us in every way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and you know from Ephesians, you can turn that just to do it so you see it. Keep looking. That's how you do with your Bible at home. You open your Bible and read the same verse. And one day, 4 years later, you see it. I see it. I read it 4 years in a row. And finally, it sunk into my head. That's right. That's the way it is. That's what you have to do. Now, so therefore, in the process, in Ephesians, and in chapter 2, God, what have you done for us in a most wonderful way? You have gone and caused us to be what? Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages, into the eternal ages, timeless ages, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, that it what? Where are you seated? You're seated where he is. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. And forever, your position, being seated, demonstrates to all of creation, those in heaven and those in hell, demonstrates what? Your God's grace, that God took nobody. In a day when he was being rejected, and God said, whosoever would receive the Lord Jesus Christ would be saved. And God is using those dear whosoevers, here we are, to show forever that God took vessels of dust, dead in trespasses and sin, and placed them right part of his body, seated in heavenly places. You are sons, seated in the Son. That's where you are. You're here. Ah, it's my old nature. I don't complain about my old nature. I don't think you do either. We have it. But you know what? That old nature, when we make mistakes and do stupid things and fail and fall, that old nature, what's it do? It makes us be thankful that he has forgiven us and has made us a new creature anyway. We're a new creature anyway. And we're thankful. Dennis, you can do that, can't you? Thankful. You goofed, you stupid. Yeah, not stupid. You do things. And you fail. And you want abiding like you should. And you're trying to grow up and do whatever. Wow. Yeah. Thankful. Yeah, we need to be thankful. And in the process, seated in heavenly places, being thankful in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, over to do that a little differently. Over, if I can, over to, over to Romans. We'll do that. It'll help. Over to Romans chapter 8. Now let me tie it. 1, 2, 3. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to take all that Christ has made possible, all the wonderment that he's made possible, to bring those benefits. Christ in you brings God in his fullness into your heart. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that fullness, all of that fruitfulness, all of that life, to make all of that full for you to enjoy it. And you're what? To be what? To enjoy that life. And therefore, Romans in chapter 8, as you know, in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also is himself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Spirit of God's outworking the will of God. It isn't outworking your will or my will. It isn't working out how you go. It's outworking God's wonderful plan for your life to enjoy his life. And therefore, verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, know, and God the Spirit are all on the same page, because he maketh intercession for the saints, that's us guys, according to the will of God. And so the will of God, the Spirit of God's outworking the life of God. Now you ought to be thankful. Right now, God is outworking the life that he's already given you, that we aren't even conscious of. He's outworking it in his most wonderful way. And he's committed to it. Who's committed? The Spirit of God is committed to this. That's his assignment. And thus, dear friend, In the light of that, you know, Romans 8 and verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, his wonderful, wonderful purpose. God is what? To save you. To save you. And everything works for good. That's why. Why? Because God's doing it. Whatever God's doing, it's good. It's good. No matter how you do it, it's wonderful. God's doing it. How can it be anything else except good if God's doing it in your life? And hang on, it's going to come out okay when you see it. And therefore all that we are and all that we could say and all that could happen, God doesn't let it happen. God, we are looking to you to outwork your wonderful will. All things work together for good. You're going to go, God, in your way, in your time, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing to work together. That's right. I'm outworking it. You got your old nature, and you need to go and what? Be very thankful that I'm not going by your old nature. I crucified your old nature. You get all hung up in it, worry and wanting and everything. But I don't, said God. I don't get tied up in what you're doing. I don't agree with you. I reckon it dead. You got to reckon it dead. But if you don't reckon it dead, then it's alive. And it's going to haunt you and hunt you down. So therefore, God, what you say, God, we got to go and look to you. And you don't let everything happen that could happen? No. 1,000 things could happen. 1,000 things. When you're sick and have problems, you have them. But boy, it doesn't take very long to find people that have more problems than you do and have more things than you do. And then, you know the old saying, I met a man who had no shoes. I had no shoes. Until I met a man who had no feet. And the man who had no feet was very thankful. And I was just complaining because I had no shoes. What a dumb thing. Yeah. So, God, what are we doing? You're going to go and take your wonderful way in the wonderful thing that you do, in the way that you do it. Your thoughts, which are higher than the heavens, have to be outworked in your wonderful, wonderful way. So, having said that, over to Philippians. And what are you going to do? Philippians in chapter 2. And Philippians 2, and you're familiar with it, but lock it in. These are basic truths you live with. You live with them 24 hours a day. You're working your life. They're working. I walk in the light. This he is in the light. I'm being forgiven, et cetera, et cetera. And all of this, that's how you live. You go to work. You go to school. Take your pills. That's what you're doing. Now, so therefore, the Philippian, each God, you say it. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you're saved, and that's what we've been looking at. You're a new creature in Christ. God has made you and given you a wonderful privilege to be, you're being forgiven. You have been forgiven, and you are enjoying being forgiven as you walk in the light, as he is in the light, and you appreciate being forgiven. That's how you get out of bed and start all over again. That's what you do. You start all over again. That's what God gives you. A new day, mercies of yesterday, and the grace of yesterday is now the grace, mercy and grace for today. So therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For reason, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. If I don't read those last four words, of his good pleasure. That makes a difference, doesn't it? If I left them off, God works and does for his good pleasure. That's why we work it out. That's why we trust him. Because I understand God, anything can happen, but whatever happens and how it happens, God, you have to put it together. So therefore again, do it differently. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And picking up, if I may, in the light of the Israel's example of failing to trust God as they should, here we go, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, going, if I can, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall, like we shared the other day, when you're at the top of the mountain, you say, I made it, I did good. Stay on your knees. When you won the game, stay on your knees. Like sometimes the football players do. You know, you cross the goal line and jump over the something else. But sometime they cross the line and drop down on their knees. They drop down. Drop down on your knees. Stay when you get the bestest. Stay on your knees. Verse 13. For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Why? That you may be able to bear it and work through it. The word temptation, two times. The word tempted, one time, all the same word, to put to the test, to be put proven. Go, you're being put on trial. You're being proven. God wants to see where you are. But God won't make anything more than you can handle. If it's in your ballpark, you can handle it. That's God's work to handle it. And if it's in God's will, in God's time, in God's way, you trust him and give him credit. God's going to do what he does in the way that he does it, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so God help us in every way. And note we share together as we did the other day in studies in 2 Corinthians and 4 and 7, God has put his wonderful person in this vessel of dust, that the excellency, the above, beyond measure, the power, the dynamic, the ability of God can show forth. Show forth where? In the vessel of dust. Dust. To house deity, for deity to glorify itself in a vessel of dust. Yeah. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind if you can, and go over again and closing over again. Remember, on your way, if we didn't do it, but again, keep putting all this stuff, these things together. Romans chapter 8, remember 38. Now, thanks be unto God, we're sheep for the slaughter. God leaves us like not dust. Also, illustration, God leaves us as sheep. The wolves can get us. Oh, they can. The trouble is, when the wolf tries to get us, we are, verse chapter 8, verse 37, we are more than conquerors, more than, same, beyond measure. We have victory. It's a three, more than conquerors, one word. We have the victory that is beyond measurement. You cannot measure the victory that God is giving you. Whose victory? His. And you start a delight in it. The trial, the test, the trouble, you're starting to get a hold of it, to roll up your sleeves and get down the corridor. And that's what you're doing. I wish I could fix things in my life and not make stupid mistakes like I do. I'm not going to fix them. I'm not going to fix them. No. I don't need to fix them. They're going to stay with me till I die. So therefore, don't get discouraged in it. It ain't going to change. I'm just what I'm doing. Now, so tie that. Ephesians. At least we touched some of it, so it should help. Ephesians chapter 5, and you know. Ephesians 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, most carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name, and not in the name of anything. You're honoring God's wonderful person who's given you his wonderful life to be outworked in his most wonderful way. And that's what you're seeking to do. You're seeking, when you get saved, you're saved. It isn't a little thing, walk down the aisle, walk out the door. No, getting saved is a dramatic, dynamic, wonderful change. God makes you a new creature. And you can believe it, you're new. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of angels, good or bad, that we may be in the presence of, they know you're saved. And they know you're safe because they see Christ and know Christ in your heart. They know it. Now, so therefore, giving thanks always for all things. Now do it again, in closing. First, you know it. You can tell me it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you will note. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and the three wonderful things that the Spirit of God leaves us with. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Be thankful. Rejoice in everything. Be pray without ceasing. Stay abiding. Stay trusting. Stay in fellowship. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. In all things always thanks. Now, you must find something when it says everything. You live 24 hours a day, and God says all 24 hours in everything. But my flat tire coming and something and this and that, all of that. Did you give thanks? Did you give thanks? Thanking me, because I'm right on top of everything that's happening in your life. I know you have a Heavenly Father. You don't need to go to the system in that sense. You need to look to God to take care. Since you're a son, since you're seated, since you're forgiven, look to God. Really do it. Really look to God. Wow. Now, so therefore, verse 18 again, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if I stop there, but I'm going to add and make a note of it in your mind. Concerning you, the word concerning is pointing to you like this. Everything give thanks, pointing to you. You give thanks. You give thanks in everything. That's just like that. You give thanks. And there we are. Happy Thanksgiving. You got the idea? People don't care. No. They try to think of something to thank you for. Man, it should become a common word that just is endeavored, it's engraved in your head. God said, in everything give thanks. For I'm being your God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you will just learn that, you'll walk through your day in your hours, and the easy and the hard, the much and the little, you'll march through the day differently because you're thanking God and understanding. You're being forgiven. You're a new creature in Christ, and you've got an old nature that hates it. We've got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace. Give us a little bit of understanding that we just may be a little more appreciative, a little more God. You love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. As we said, a privilege to say thank you, God. It is our privilege. It is our portion. It is our pleasure to say thank you. Thank you, God. In Christ's name, amen.